Fixed income markets have evolved, but most benchmarks haven't. At Janus Henderson, our forward-thinking framework aims to reconstruct past approaches to fixed income by focusing on multiple investor objectives. Learn more at janushenderson.com. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal and fluctuation of value.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. As the fighting continues in Ukraine, the U.S. and its allies keep warning about the risks of Russia-backed cyber attacks and the spillover effects those could have on businesses and governments around the world. But the risk of cyber strikes and ransomware attacks don't begin and end with the war in Ukraine. Companies need to cope with the ever-present danger they create. At the Wall Street Journal's recent CEO Council Summit, our Deputy Chief News Editor Grainne McCarthy spoke with two leading government experts about the latest cyber threats and how to deal with them. We'll have highlights from their conversation after these headlines. We report exclusively that Elon Musk is being investigated by federal regulators over the late disclosure of his sizable stake in Twitter. Investors are required to submit notice within 10 days of when they take a more than 5% stake in a company. Musk surpassed that threshold on March 14th, but didn't submit his filing until April 4th. The delay allowed Musk to buy more stock without alerting other shareholders in a way that might have changed the stock price. Sources say the Securities and Exchange Commission is looking into the late disclosure. Separately, the Federal Trade Commission is looking into whether the delay violated antitrust laws. An SEC spokesman declined to comment. An attorney for Musk didn't respond to a request for comment. A cryptocurrency that was supposed to be pegged to $1 nosedived yesterday. The price of the algorithmic stablecoin, TerraUSD, briefly went as low as 23 cents, according to CoinDesk, before partially rebounding. Stablecoins like Terra have been getting greater attention from regulators lately. On Tuesday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen reiterated calls for Congress to authorize regulation of stablecoins to protect investors. The dip in Terra's price comes amid a wider fall in the value of cryptocurrencies, including the world's largest, Bitcoin. We'll have more on the crypto sell-off on tomorrow's show. Facebook and Instagram have been blocked in parts of eastern Ukraine. Authorities in the breakaway regions of Ukraine's Donbas said posts on social media carried calls for violence against Russian speakers. The ban by the Russian-backed regions comes after Moscow blocked access to Facebook and Instagram in March. Meta, the parent of both platforms, didn't respond to requests for comment. Disney reported better-than-expected subscription numbers for its Disney Plus streaming service last quarter. The world's largest entertainment company said it added nearly 8 million subscribers, avoiding a slowdown that's dogged its streaming rival, Netflix. Last month, Netflix reported its first net subscriber loss in a decade. And electric car maker Rivian reported a net loss of $1.6 billion in the first quarter. That was nearly quadruple the same period a year earlier. Rivian is spending heavily on research and development and on manufacturing its first vehicles. The company also said higher logistics costs, in particular having to spend on expedited shipping to work around supply chain disruptions, weighed on its results. But it maintained its production forecast for this year. All right, coming up, cyber attacks are a clear and ever-present threat for businesses and governments. How are national security leaders thinking about protections? We'll hear from them after the break.
In growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs: the ones overwhelmed with manual processes, errors, and lack of control of the numbers, and the one who uses NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. With visibility and control of financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Cybersecurity is one of those topics in tech that's just never going away. Hacks and ransomware strikes from private organizations and state actors have become almost commonplace. But the threats are always evolving, presenting new challenges for businesses and governments. At the Wall Street Journal's recent CEO Council Summit, the WSJ's Deputy Chief News Editor, Grainne McCarthy, spoke with Lindy Cameron, head of the cybersecurity arm of the UK's GCHQ intelligence agency, and Anne Neuberger, the Deputy National Security Advisor on Cyber and Emerging Tech for the White House's National Security Council. They discussed the latest cyber threats and how governments and the private sector can work together to reduce their risks. Here are highlights from that conversation.
Good afternoon. Lindy, welcome. Delighted you could be here in person. And Anne, a warm welcome to you from DC. Let's dive right in. The war in Ukraine is, of course, foremost on our minds. Lindy, how is the cyber war going?
So we always judge that I think Russia poses a significant and enduring threat in cyberspace. They're a very capable adversary. And in many ways, what we've seen is what we expected to see, which is a significant level of cyber activity in Ukraine. But in fact, I think our awareness of the threat to the UK has heightened but hasn't changed significantly.
And similar question to you. I understand that you're not going to be able to share confidential details, but can you give us a sense of, you know, many people are calling this the first cyber war. Can you give us a sense of behind the scenes what you are seeing and the level of activity?
We are certainly seeing Russia's use of destructive cyber attacks in Ukraine, often accompanying its invasion, accompanying its kinetic movements. And we're also seeing the Ukrainians working, using technology effectively to really fight back and quickly address, assess, and push back on significant cyber attacks. I think, to Lindsay's point, there's really a tighter cooperation happening as well around the world between governments and with key private sector companies as countries around the world seek both to assist Ukraine as well as to ensure we're defending our own critical infrastructure from potential disruptive attacks.
Yeah, I'd like to dive into that and spend a bit of time on it. I mean, someone in the room said to me, Ukraine has been in the midst of a fierce cyber war since 2014, and the Ukrainians have considerable expertise on this. President Zelensky has called on this sort of army of underground tech experts to help in the war effort. So what are we learning from the Ukrainians, Lindy? How much are we collaborating with them? How open are the channels of communication?
So we've had conversations with the Ukrainians for some time. We and other allies, you know, the EU, the US, of course, have worked with the Ukrainians to ensure they understand, you know, for example, you know, our responses, our incident management practices, how we do assessment. We share a sense of threat. And obviously, I won't go into operational details. But I think, you know, we like to help partners like Ukraine to raise their own cyber resilience. And I think, as Anne said, in many ways, what we've seen is a phenomenal level of resilience from the Ukrainians who expected to see significant, you know, cyber onslaughts, and indeed who have seen a sustained level of interest. So we've seen DDoS attacks, we've seen wiper malware deployed, we've seen websites taken down, we've seen interest in the energy sector. So there has been a significant level of operation there, but what's been really impressive is the way that they have responded and built their own resilience. I think it's a lesson, to be blunt, for all of us.
What's your top cyber concern, Lindy, at this point, as we face into potentially, I don't know how long this is going to last?
Right now, I'm concerned about the sustained resilience of teams. So you've got cyber teams across businesses who were working on Log4j before Christmas and who then went straight into preparing for the kind of heightened threat that we see. Because although we haven't seen a specific increase in the threat to the UK, we really have asked businesses to think about this as a moment where you make sure you've done all the things that we've asked you to do before. But that, of course, is a really sustained level of effort.
And yeah, similar question for you, Anne. How would you sum up your top concern at this point?
I would say, you know, in the international arena, there's a system of rules. Much as there are rules against one country invading another country, there are international norms that countries around the world signed up for, both in 2015 and 19, on how responsible states behave in cyberspace. And my primary concern is, much as the international community has really put in place sanctions, worked to provide security assistance to Ukraine to enable it to defend itself as part of reinforcing those international norms, similarly from a cyber perspective, the way that we as an international community respond to some of the destructive attacks that we've seen Russia conduct, to some of the spillover effects that have occurred as well, and ensure we attribute it, ensure there are consequences as well, as part of reinforcing those norms. So we create an environment where rules are in place and there are consequences for breaching those.
Yeah, and just very quickly, we've seen a tremendous international response, obviously, vis-a-vis Russia, sanctions, you know, in efforts to shut the war chest. Is it similar frenetic level of cooperation on the cyber level?
I'm not sure to describe it as frenetic, but I think that certainly it's been sustained and very much deepened.
Intense,
I mean, but I think thoughtful as well. Yeah. So this is, as with any criminal system, this is a complex set of gangs, you know, with many levels. The sort of vertical integration is not straightforward. And actually, therefore, we need to really understand where we can best bear down on them, make life difficult, make it uncomfortable, frankly, lower their profits. So I would like to make the UK a hard place for them to do business.
And very quickly, what has China been doing, Chinese hackers?
I'll highlight two areas with regard to China. First, China does make extensive use of cyber hacking activity, often with companies around the world, to glean intellectual property to advantage Chinese companies, particularly in the areas of technology China wants to be a global leader on. The second area we would say is China has a vision for sovereign control of the internet that's very much counter to democratic countries' views of a secure, open, interoperable internet, of an ecosystem that, you know, where there's a trusted technology ecosystem. And in that vein, we've also been working with partners around the world and with the private sector to say, how do we bake security into technology in a greater degree?
Let's talk about companies. Cybersecurity seems like table stakes, really, for CEOs at this point. It's business as usual. Is that a bad thing almost? Does it sort of fade sometimes as a matter of urgency for C-suites?
I'd be delighted if cybersecurity really was sort of bread and butter for every CEO at every level. I think it probably is more for the larger companies. I'm not yet sure we're there for SMEs and for medium-sized organizations who don't have the same level of expertise. But I think also I still see a level of wariness talking about technology amongst perhaps some of our colleagues who haven't, would describe themselves as not having grown up with the internet. You know, my view is, that's just a risk you can't take. So you need to be able to have the same conversation with your CIO that you do with your senior lawyer, your CFO about finance. This is about understanding the risks your organization is facing. And actually, it's usually not the technology risks that will trip you up. So from my perspective, most organizations are likely to face some kind of cyber threat. The question is when, not if. And the real question, the real differentiator will be how well prepared you are for that, how well you understand the data you hold, how well you understand the critical systems that you operate, which ones can you afford to have down for weeks rather than days.
Where do you stand on paying ransom? You mentioned making it harder for criminals, Lindy.
So we would like to make this a hard place to pay ransoms. We recognize there are occasionally circumstances where there is a real imperative to do so, and we empathize with that. But frankly, from my perspective, the UK is a safer place where people don't pay ransoms. So it's a public good issue in many ways. I can understand the pressure in any individual organization, but I want to make it difficult for criminals to make money, and I want to disincentivize them. But frankly, also for organizations themselves, what we've seen pretty clearly is you're much more likely to be a victim again if you pay once because you look like a soft target. So I wouldn't advise it. It's also not the most expensive bit of remediation.
Yeah, and I know we reported last year the CEO of Colonial Pipeline, he told the Journal that he had authorized the ransom payment because he was unsure how badly the attack had breached its systems. What is your view on that, on paying ransom?
It's a far better use of money to build resilience and security into your systems than to pay a criminal who will use that to conduct their next attack, either against you, your peer company, or potentially critical services in the country you're part of.
I think we're out of time. Anne, thank you so much for joining us from DC. Lindy, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you, everybody.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find a link to the full conversation in the show notes. And to find more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. If you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.